50 years ago today, Senator Robert F. Kennedy killed by an assassin's bullet. He was shot yesterday and died today. People don't believe this, but there was talk amongst us as we went into school. There was talk that he was going to survive this thing. Even though he was shot in the head, there was still word that he was going to make it. He was going to make it somehow. And, of course, that did not turn out to be the case. On this 50th anniversary of the death of Robert Kennedy, a new book has come out. Author Rick Allen, RFK, His Words for Our Times. Rick is a media and technology executive. He's been a speechwriter, fundraiser, and state campaign manager for several presidential and Senate candidates. Also served as deputy assistant to President Clinton, helping to create AmeriCorps. Rick Allen, good morning.
Good morning to you.
This book, this concentrates a lot on his speeches, on his words, and includes a lot of commentary from Barack Obama, from Bill Clinton. There was an earlier book that you had also co-written.
Ed Guffman, who was a legendary journalist, Pulitzer Prize winner, was Robert Kennedy's press secretary, and started working with him on the Rackets Committee in the 1950s. And Ed and I wrote a book in 1993, passed away in 2008, and so I reissued the book. It's a completely new edit, but it incorporates Ed's great early chapters and some new material, including a number of new essays reflecting on Robert Kennedy's legacy, two of which you mentioned, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. But we have 30 world leaders, 4 presidents, 5 Nobel Peace Prize winners, and a range of other important voices reflecting on how Robert Kennedy's impacted them personally and also impacted our country and the world.
What did we lose on that day, Rick?
An incredible voice for a reconciled America moving forward to meet its central challenges. Someone who could reach across the boundaries of age, of gender, of race, of geography, who could also be clear-eyed about pursuing change in a way that was pragmatic and practical. It was hard to pinpoint Robert Kennedy as either a pure liberal or a pure conservative. He believed in change that worked. He had specific ideas to get there, and he was enormously inspirational, including in his public speaking, to call people to transcend their own limitations and personal concerns to help build stronger communities. And I think all of that represents substantial loss. And it's one of the reasons that at the memorial at Arlington Cemetery to celebrate the 50th anniversary, there'll be 5,000 people from literally all over the world, including a president and members of Congress from both parties.
I remember when reading the Three Musketeers books, and it was said of them that they could coexist in all different types of crowds, all different kinds of people, the rich, the poor. I think you could say that about Bobby Kennedy, no?
That's a wonderful analogy, and it's absolutely true. Obviously born to a family of privilege, he deliberately went outside his comfort zone repeatedly all over the world. He went to audiences that he knew would be hostile, again, all over the world, and confronted the comfortable in ways that he knew would cost him votes, but where he thought that dialogue, direct and with respect, was important to getting a common understanding of the problems and hopefully the solutions. The second point is that he went into parts of the country that no other elected official was visiting regularly. And those were the most desperately poor, disadvantaged, and voiceless parts of America, the inner city, Indian reservation, the California Central Valley, the agricultural hub of the United States, the Mississippi Delta. And he went there to experience what life was like for what he called the forgotten Americans, and to bring the pictures and the news of how our fellow citizens were living to the rest of America. And that, as you said, was an indication of his ability to feel comfortable with people in all places and of all circumstances.
There's a part of the book where you deal with his trip to South Africa, and he spoke out against apartheid. But he did this while acknowledging struggles with civil rights back home.
Yes. Bob, that's a really important point. And frankly, that's my favorite part of the book.
Mm.
That trip in 1966, essentially 2 years before his death, the most famous speech in Cape Town occurred was exceptionally important for him and for his wife, Ethel, but very, very important for South Africa. And that Cape Town speech, which is probably his most famous public remarks, really began with and acknowledged the shortcomings of America and the fact that really what each country and each group of citizens should be trying to do is not to call out the citizens of other countries for their wrongs, but to be able to work ceaselessly to improve the lives of their own fellow citizens and to hold forward a moral standard that could help to inspire and move forward people from around the world. It had a huge impact on the fight against apartheid. It was the grounds for many really, really wonderful stories and fantastic speeches.